The focus of Unit 8B is on the effective implementation planning. At the end of this segment, you'll be able to analyze effective implementation planning. Three strategies have been identified with respect to implementation of HIT systems that are certified and that fulfill the federal government's definition of meaningful use. These include single vendor, best of breed, and best of suite approaches. All of these strategies are in use today, and each strategy has specific strengths and limitations. It's important to understand these characteristics when planning for effective implementations. The Advisory Board has recommended action items to help organizations decide among best of breed, best of suite, and single vendor implementations. First, hospitals should evaluate the cost of maintaining best of suite or best of breed environments against the benefits with respect to function and features supplied by enterprise architectural solutions. Next, business managers should make the decision of what solution best supports the different operating environments of the hospitals. Lastly, organizations should conduct risk assessments for all interfaced environments to determine the impact of interface failures on business operations and care delivery. Many organizations are moving to accountable care delivery models. These models require the ability to capture and share data across all care modalities. Enterprise architectures, defined as a consistent architecture across revenue cycle management, electronic health record, and specialty clinical departments, have the distinct advantage of avoiding the need to develop and maintain complex bidirectional interfaces between disparate applications. In evaluating the market changes over the last 2 to 5 year periods, the advisory board company found that the top vendors who added new clients to their client base during this time frame were those known for their self-developed enterprise architectures. We know that the single vendor strategy is used by most U.S. hospitals and that this market share is growing. There are 4 main benefits to this approach. The organization contracts with a single certified vendor to help meet federal regulations. There's a single contract to manage initial capital outlays and ongoing operating cost. HIT staff can build competency in a single product. And centralized maintenance and updating of software decreases complexity. Collectively, these benefits reduce operational complexity and enable conformance to a single standard once the system is fully implemented. Limitations to this approach include the fact that such a system often necessitates radical change in business policies and operating procedures across the organization. Key stakeholders may resist changing to suit an HIT application rather than having the HIT application designed to suit current workflow. If the system fails, there could be significant financial losses, and investing in a single vendor system significantly curtails the organization's future ability to change to other vendors. With a best-of-breed strategy, the organization may select different vendors for the acute care, emergency department, ambulatory, and operating room EHRs. The best-of-breed approach has been found most frequently in academic medical centers. This approach requires interfaces for exchanging data between these disparate systems, adding additional financial burden. The best-of-breed strategy has the benefit of avoiding the massive business process reengineering that often accompanies single-vendor solutions. By integrating components of software from multiple vendors, and in many cases, customizing components developed within the organization, proponents of best-of-breed systems feel that the systems are more closely aligned with the requirements of each clinical area. They believe that they can put together, in a deliberate fashion, a system that ensures the highest quality and creates a competitive advantage. Limitations of the best-of-breed strategy include the technical and organizational fragmentation of multiple systems that require a wide range of technical skill to manage. There's also concern that these systems pose a compliance risk and have financial implications with respect to meaningful use incentives. The third approach is the best of suite approach. This approach represents a hybrid strategy in which organizations use one application package as the basis for integrating all other applications. The organization selects a vendor who will provide the clinical IT support for delivery across all modalities to include ED, ambulatory, and operating room settings. Within the last 10 years, the best of suite approach is mostly seen in large urban hospitals and integrated delivery systems. There are three main benefits to this approach. The organization can retain and integrate legacy clinical applications into a single backbone application. There's reduced need for disruptive work process redesign, and therefore decreased resistance on the part of the professional staff. The major limitation of this strategy is that multiple vendors have strong bargaining positions with respect to future contracting rates and customization flexibility. As a future HIT professional, you will find that each of these aforementioned strategies are prevalent in healthcare organizations today. There is no one-size-fits-all strategy, and you should be aware of the strengths and limitations of each strategy. In 2003, an international consensus panel of experts in computerized provider order entry systems, or CPOE, developed recommendations on considerations to effectively guide successful CPOE implementations. These guidelines not only hold true today, but also extend to all uses of HIT beyond provider order entry. They proposed 9 considerations for implementation teams: motivation, vision and leadership, costs, integration, value, project management, technology, training and support, and learning. Motivation for implementation has a significant impact on the funding, political support, and clinical leadership needed for successful implementation of HIT. The need for effective leadership extends over a prolonged period of time from all levels of the organization. Executive leaders promote a shared vision and provide funding at both clinical and project management levels. That is, funding for clinical champions to ensure buy-in, and commitment and funding for a clearly defined project leader and resources needed to keep the project moving and in scope. In addition, the total cost of ownership must be considered, including person hours for training and support, input into design, and any temporary productivity losses that accompany implementation. iTeams must consider the way in which clinical applications alter and integrate into the clinical environment. Modification of existing workflows must be carefully tested to ensure that these do not disrupt patient care activities and healthcare processes. Furthermore, clinicians and ancillary groups affected by HIT implementation need to understand the value or return benefits to patient care. Decision support systems play a clear role in defining these benefits. User participation in the design of decision support systems ensures that these systems add true value. Another consideration for iTeams is project management and staging of implementation. Consensus building to ensure that users have input into the project plan, a clearly defined scope and milestones, ongoing collection of clinical feedback, and accountability for objectives are critical. Plans should include pre-implementation, implementation, and post-implementation phases, as well as definitions for measures of success for each phase. Technologic considerations include those related to the organization strategy, such as the desired balance between standardization and customization, and plans for interfaces with or replacement of existing systems. User factors, such as rights and permissions. Whether there is flexibility in task completion. And the quality of the application itself, such as user friendliness and response time. A constant theme is pre-go-live training and post-go-live 24/7 at-the-elbow support. The most successful implementations have more post-go-live support than pre-go-live training. Support staff should be able to serve as translators between clinical users and IT staff. Mechanisms for ongoing support should also be determined. The organization's ability to learn from its mistakes is a key consideration, since HIT implementation benefits from continuous improvement. HIT systems are not static and are continually evolving as new technologic discoveries are made. Ensuring a process for addressing problems in a timely manner and for obtaining formal and informal feedback from clinical customers is critical to success. Lou Anne Wittenberg has described the importance of attention to nursing workflow in the EHR implementation process. Such attention is critical for all types of clinical workflow, not just the workflow attributable to nurses. Implementation teams should ensure careful process descriptions, how clinical tasks are done, by whom they are done, who documents them, and in what order they are performed and documented, and how quickly they are done and entered into the health record. In addition, the sets of relationships between and among all activities from start to finish is critical to success. For example, the ability of the nurse to plan for and administer medications is dependent on the prescriber entering the order in CPOE and the pharmacist reviewing the order before it is released to the electronic medication administration record. Also, movement of information around the organizations for purposes such as sign-off and evaluation must be taken into consideration. With HIT implementation, one size does not fit all. Implementation strategies differ depending on the size and type of the organization that is adopting health IT, as well as the organizational culture. Amanda Terry and her team synthesized the findings of three studies examining adoption of electronic health records in primary care settings in Canada. They found four key factors for implementation success. These include the user's expectations of the system and what is needed to use the software, how much prior knowledge of computers potential users have, and the time and training they will need to implement the system, the level of commitment to implementation and adoption of the EHRs, and the availability of a provider willing to take a leadership or champion role, and providers' readiness to adopt the system. The size of primary practices varies. Small ambulatory practices are particularly challenged. While ambulatory practices stand to reap the benefits of EHRs, such as improved patient care and office efficiency, as well as potential financial benefits, there are known barriers. These include the fact that EHRs require a major financial investment. Vendor systems are not standardized, and most have been developed for large primary practices. In addition, clinicians worry about their practice's ability to technically support the system. Disturbances in workflow and temporary productivity reductions and the perception that EHRs benefit payers and society as a whole rather than providers. Lorenzi and her research team propose that steps for successful EHR implementation in small ambulatory practices is all about change management. The fact that there is such wide variation in the nature and organization of small ambulatory practices requires a flexible approach to change management with emphasis on enthusiasm, commitment, communication, and cooperation. It's critical that leadership create an actionable vision for change that includes mutually defined, measurable goals, as well as the types of tools and technologies that each person envisions using in their daily practice. The approach to each phase of implementation, decision, selection, pre-implementation, implementation, and post-implementation, will need to be tailored to the individual practice and stated goals monitored to ensure achievement. Smaller hospitals have less capacity and resources to afford innovations such as HIT. Rural hospitals face considerable challenges responding to the national mandate to implement EHRs. Conversion to critical access status is one way that small rural hospitals have been able to improve their ability to invest in and implement HIT. The Balanced Budget Act of 1997 introduced criteria by which small rural hospitals could convert to critical access hospital status. To qualify, the hospital has to be not-for-profit, located in a non-metropolitan statistical area, be situated at least 35 miles or 15 miles if the area is mountainous, from another short-term general hospital, and have 25 or fewer acute care beds. For hospitals that qualify, critical access hospital status changes their Medicare payment methodology to one that is cost-based, and this change has a very favorable impact on their financial returns, improving their ability to invest in and implement HIT. Researchers have looked at staff resources and strategies to support IT in 70 critical access hospitals in Iowa. A third of these hospitals reported having no IT professionals on staff, and only half reported employing 1 to 2 IT staff. A large majority, 91%, stated that they use external IT consultants or subcontractors to support their use of HIT. 50% use these consultants to a large or greater extent. Outsourcing for IT services, such as website, internet services, system installation, technical support, and network operations, to name a few, was reported by 85% of the hospitals in this study. Most of these outsourced services were highly technical. The less the number of IT staff, the more frequently outsourcing was used. Another strategy that is used to support IT needs is the use of application service providers, or ASPs. This is where the vendor distributes services to customers across a wide area network from a central database. Only 38% reported use of ASP services of any type, and only 9% used these to a great extent. John Glazer looked back on his 20 years as a member of the leadership team that has implemented EHRs at Partners Healthcare. He identified 10 factors for success. First, the organization needs to have clear strategies, objectives, and plans. Next, management needs to discuss ways to link the IT agenda to the strategies of the organization. The organization needs to hold itself accountable for its performance. It needs to have efficient IT governance in place. The organization not only needs to determine what processes require IT-enabled improvement, it also needs to measure its performance. Multiple supporting initiatives need to be incorporated. The organization needs to understand the complex nature of the EHR value proposition. Clinicians need to be constantly engaged in improving systems and workflows. An investment in infrastructure must be supported. And finally, the organization must invest in modest, thoughtful IT experimentation. In summary, implementation strategies vary depending on a variety of factors. Organizations generally use single vendor, best of breed, or best of suite strategies to develop the HIT business strategy. But one size does not fit all. HIT professionals will be instrumental in assisting each organization to develop the best implementation plan to suit its needs.